Well, hi again, everybody. We are live at the Antlers on a Tuesday evening, the Laker Hockey Show. Nice little crowd on hand and some fans still coming in as we get ready to start the show tonight. And Damon Whitten isn't with us right off the bat tonight. He'll be joining us during the show tonight. But we've got Brian Basilico with us, the junior out of Macomb, Michigan. We'll talk to Brian in just a moment here. First of all, we will get to the players of the week as we always do right out of the gate. The Lakers did pick up a couple of honorable mentions despite losing two games to a very good Minnesota State team on the weekend. And the forward of the week this week is one of the young men we're going to see this weekend, Kyler Hope from Alaska Fairbanks. He's the junior there. He had a goal and three assists, 4 points in a sweep of Ferris State. He was also a plus four on the weekend. They did a good job. They beat Ferris State 4-3 in overtime and then 6-2 on Saturday night. Diego Cuglietta, who had a good weekend for the Lakers, won just about every faceoff he took. He had two goals on Friday night in that 4-2 loss, and he was among the honorable mentions this week for forward of the week. Defenseman of the week was Tristan Thompson from the University of Alaska. So they got the top two this week. He is a junior. He had two goals, two assists, 4 points, two block shots, plus three rating, defenseman of the week honors. Goalie of the week was Dryden McKay, the young man the Lakers had to face this past weekend from Minnesota State. He had a 4-2 win on Friday, 3-0 shutout on Saturday. Lakers shutout for the first time this season. 1.01 goals against average for Dryden McKay, the freshman from Minnesota State. He had a .951 save percentage. Merrick Mittens was honorable mention from the Lakers. The sophomore stopped 20 of 22 shots in that 3-0 loss on Saturday night. The Lakers played pretty well on Saturday, but couldn't buy a goal and lost for the second Saturday in a row, actually the third Saturday in a row. Rookie of the Week honors went to Cooper Zeck from Ferris State. He had two goals, two assists, 4 points against Fairbanks. Eight shots on goal, not bad for a freshman defenseman. He also blocked two shots, so there are your WCHA players of the week. Checking the standings in the WCHA, Michigan Tech on top, 7-0-1 on the season. That gives them a total of 23 points, two more than Minnesota State in second place. Third place is Bowling Green with 17 points, then comes Northern Michigan with 15. Alaska has 14 now, moved ahead of the Lakers. The Lakers and Bemidji are tied for sixth place in the standings with 13 points apiece. Then Ferris State with six, Alabama Huntsville with three, and Anchorage in the cellar with just 1 point. Well, Brian Basilico is not a stranger to Laker fans. He's been with this team in his third year now, and tough luck on Saturday because he was out of the lineup for Saturday night. But let's talk a little bit about your past, Brian, where you played your hockey. You're from Macomb. Is that where you played all your minor hockey, and then you went out to the BC League to play junior hockey before coming here? Who recruited you to Lake Superior State? How'd you wind up being a Laker?
Yeah, I'm originally from the Detroit area, so I grew up playing for Bell Tire and then Honey Baked, and it was actually Witten was the one that recruited me into Lake State kind of when he was just starting to get the job, so I felt that was a good fit for me too, and being only 5 hours from home, it was nice because the family can always come and visit too, so it was a good fit for me.
Yeah, and your parents get up here and see you play quite a bit, and then when we go on the road, they're quite often there too. Bowling Green is an example, but this past Saturday had to be tough sitting out of the lineup, but sometimes that's good for a guy. Sit upstairs, watch the game, and it makes you a little bit hungrier to get back in there. I know you'll be in there on Friday night up in Alaska.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I mean, and you do see different stuff watching the game. It's different watching from the stands than it is playing the game, but I think it definitely fires me up, and I'm ready to go with every shot I got. So,
well, this season you have mostly been playing on a line, and it's kind of changed a few times. You've had Alex Ambrosio at center. You've had Chase Gamblin, the Sioux native, over on the other wing on the right side. You're the left winger on that line, but you played with Brendan McKay quite a bit this season, and it's been a mixture of guys in on that other wing too. And it started out being a kind of a defensive checking line, doing your job stopping the other team all the time, and did a really good job of it. You also created a lot of good offense. It's kind of fallen on tough times the last maybe 4 or 5 games, though.
Yeah, I definitely take pride in that too, and that's kind of style I want to play, is playing the right way and then create offensive chances off of that, and I just want to find a way to keep playing hard so I can get those more minutes and hopefully get back to where I want to be.
No, you played against Alaska the two games here. We lost five out of a possible 6 points there. They're going to be licking their chops. They're going to be thinking, okay, here come the Lakers. We'll take them twice on our big ice. How do you guys get together to offset that and pick up points up in Fairbanks this weekend?
Yeah, I think the guys definitely feel like we still owe them some. We feel like we lost those points back, and when that was, and those are really hard. Like, we need those points. So I think the guys are fired up for this weekend, and these are probably two of the bigger games of the year, and we want to get it done before Christmas.
Yeah, it looked like we might have lost one of our better players on Saturday night. Brian Gelsinger went down. Looked like he was hurt. He didn't come back, and I think the first X-rays kind of showed that maybe there was a little hairline problem there in his wrist, but since then, they've looked at it again and decided he doesn't have a break in that wrist, and he's probably going to be able to play. That's really good news, because that's a guy who had speed. We're going to go play on big ice up in Fairbanks. You want speed.
Yeah, he's a good player for us, and I think he's pumped that he found out that it's not broken, and he saw the specialist today, so he got back to practice today, and he's ready to go for Friday.
Yeah, that's great news right there to have him back on the ice today. I talked to him yesterday. He was really bummed out because he's kind of had a history of injury since he's been here. He's been here in his third year. He's like you. He's a junior, and he's missed parts of the first 2 years. He didn't want to miss part of this one.
Yeah, I think it was on the same time last year where he had another elbow problem, and he was out for a few weeks during that too. So I think he's excited that it wasn't ended up being broken.
Now, do you have a preference in maybe people, and I know what you're going to say here because you're going to say I don't really care, but are there some people that you just as soon play with that you can maybe feel real confident with out there, or does it matter to you?
Yeah, I think definitely sometimes when you get in a rhythm during the games, you feel guys that you feel you're putting stuff together, and I think that comes with like a sort of confidence between each other, and you trust each other, whether you're each other on the ice and use each other better, and that just creates the chemistry throughout the few games.
Well, I would think you and Chase Gamblin be a good mix. You're both big guys who can hit people. You can go in the corners and come out with a puck and make a play here and there, and I would think maybe you like playing with a guy like that.
Yeah, I do like playing with Gamblin. We had a stretch where we were playing great together, and I kind of started reading him, get off the walls. He gets pucks to where I want to be when I'm coming across the ice, and yeah, we put some good shifts together.
Now, what are you doing school-wise? Are you a business major? A lot of the guys are business majors.
Yeah, business entrepreneurship.
Okay, how does that work for you? Has it been pretty good? Are your grades staying right where you want them to be, the degree in line at this point?
Yeah, it's been good. It's I think I'm starting to get into more of the core classes of the business aspect of things other than the general education courses. So I'm starting to enjoy it, and I've been keeping my grades pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. That's what it's all about, getting that degree along with playing hockey. But you played in the BC League. Where did you play there, and what kind of coaching did you have there, and how did that prepare you to play college hockey?
It definitely prepared me a lot. I played in a few different places in the BC. I started off in Trail, went to Prince George, which is way up by Alaska, and then ended up finishing in West Kelowna, where we had a really good end of the year. And so I finished off my end of this like 20-year-old year, and we ended up winning the RBC Cup. So it was definitely the great to get me ready for the college life.
Now, do you ever sit down with the other guys who played in the BC League and just kick around where you played, maybe tell a few stories about some of the cities, et cetera? There are a lot of guys on our team out of the BC League.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys out of the BC, so we kind of all go into the same places and the same rinks and kind of have the same laughs about the different stories between the different towns. But I love playing over in the BC, and it's a great area.
How about this weekend now? This Alaska team, they've got a lot of young guys. They're built for that big ice surface. They're kind of like Northern Michigan. They're not maybe as fast as Northern Michigan and maybe don't play as heavy, but they're built for big ice. How do you offset that when you're playing on NHL ice most of the time?
I think we're mainly just focused on playing our game. I think we've been the best this year by just doing what we do, and then I think everything else kind of falls into place. I think when we change our structure, try to fit their style of play, we don't play as good as a team.
This past weekend, a really good team, Minnesota State. I think we all have respect for them and their program. They were probably the better team. They came out with the two victories, but I thought you played really well against them on Saturday night. There was a lot of hustle there. Maybe the first period Friday night was the really tough part of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team, and we kind of talked about it. And I mean, we're not right there right now, but we're getting there. We want to be at the end of the season to be better than them.
Yeah, the start this season was really good, as it has been. We're ranked up in the top 20 for a couple of weeks. We fell out of that. We've got votes in the top 30 right now, but Michigan Tech replaced us on number 20 this past week. But You don't worry about that kind of thing. For one thing, the Lakers have played a lot of really good teams so far. We played at Bowling Green. We played Northern Michigan at our place, Minnesota State. A lot of the teams that are above us in the standings right now have kind of made hay by playing teams that haven't had too much fortune thus far this season. We don't get to do that for a couple of weeks yet. We got Alaska here, and then we'll go up to Anchorage, back-to-back trip, so to speak, going up to the North Country.
Yeah, these divisional games are big, and I think these upcoming games are something that we've been focused on. And like I said, that we feel like we lost a few points from the last time we played them, and we're going to be hungry to get a few points against these guys.
Now, do the guys on the team feel right now, like a lot of the fans do, that this team is improved, that this is a better hockey team than we've had the last couple of years?
Yeah, definitely. We started from the beginning of the year. We think we have something special here, and we're maybe it seems like to a few that we're getting off track because we're out in the standings, but that doesn't bother us at all. We're going to come back with a good weekend, and we know we're a good team, and we're gonna show it.
Yeah, the other thing, too, right now, this is the right time of year. I guess if a guy did get banged up, this would be the time of year to do it. You're going to go play two games up in Fairbanks, which are league games, but then we're going to take a week off, which is really good because finals week is next week, and that puts a lot of stress on you guys, too. We'll talk about that in a second, but then you go play the under-18s, which will be fun for you because you're going to go virtually home down in Plymouth. And then we go to Little Caesars Arena, which will be a real big deal for the guys on our team to play in the pro rank and play against Michigan State on that Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely grown up in the Detroit area, so obviously I've gone to all those GLI games growing up as a kid. And you kind of, when you're a kid, you look up to it. Like, it's like one of the coolest things. So I think I'm definitely looking forward to, and then Plymouth is only an hour away from my house too, so those games kind of, I guess, mean a little bit more when they're kind of close to your hometown, so that'll be fun.
Well, the really good thing is there are no conference games here until you do come back after the holiday break, and then you don't play at home. It seems like the last five or six seasons, to my memory, we've always been at home there that first weekend in January. We don't have any student fans, and we don't have very many other fans because it's the holidays. This year, you go all the way back up to Alaska to play in Anchorage that first weekend in January.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting schedule because we're going to Alaska this week right now and then coming back after Christmas and going up there again. But I think we just got to focus on stay on track and just know that those are big points on the line and you got to come ready to play.
Well, the interesting thing there after that, too, is it's home and away the rest of the way. You're going to play Huntsville after you play Anchorage, then you're going to go on the road, then you're going to come home and go on the road, come home, and that's the way it goes the rest of the year. That's really a much better schedule than last year. If you remember, we weren't home the whole month of February.
Yeah, that was tough. I know there's like, it felt like it was a couple months stretch of we were just not playing at home, and it's tough going on the travel all the time and not being at home to get those wins.
Well, it's good to have you here, Brian. We haven't had you on the show before. We can do this again, certainly, and appreciate you stopping by and filling in here at the start of the show, and good luck the rest of the way. Good luck on this trip up to Alaska this weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Brian Basilico joining us here, and we'll take a break. The Laker Hockey Show. We'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All right, we are back for the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show here on a Tuesday evening, coming off a couple of losses against what I thought was the best team we've played so far this season, Minnesota State. Very quick, fast, stick on stick, hit you, chase you, make plays. They're pretty darn good. And I thought we played pretty well against them other than the first period on Friday night, 4-2 loss on Friday. And I thought we played better on Saturday than we did on Friday for the most part and couldn't score a goal on the kid McKay, and he ends up being goaltender of the week in the WCHA. Damon Witten joining us now in a second segment of our program.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Friday, not that we can't afford to have a start like that against a team like that, and you know, really anybody, but certainly you spot them a 3-goal lead, and that's going to be really challenging to come back from. And I think we had a late turnover too for them to get that third goal. If you get out 2-0, even though you didn't like the way you played, you're still within striking distance. And again, I thought we fought back, we played really well, and made it competitive. And like I said, 5 of 6 good weekend periods on the weekend. Not enough. But I like their second, third period. Obviously, Diego had a great game. He was good in the faceoff dot all weekend long, had some other good performances. I thought Nick played well. Not much he could do on those chances. And then Saturday, I thought, you know, I think after the game, certainly with the emotion in it and just walking there, you know, we definitely didn't feel like we played bad. You know, you get down 1-0 again. You don't win the special teams. They get the one power play goal from a tight angle and we're not able to cash in on the power play. And then that had a big impact on the game. But, you know, we felt like we played well and had our chances. And then watching it back Sunday, I, you know, really liked the way we played. I thought we did a tremendous job defensively, limited them, you know, to a real, I think 8 chances is what they had, is what we had them marked for, which I don't think they get held that low very often because of the type of team they have and the way they play. And we generate about 14 or 15 grade A's. And so, you know, when you grade it out, you like the way it looks. Again, you lose special teams and that's challenging. We were great in faceoffs once again. You know, a lot of our guys had really strong nights, you know, had a lot of puck possession because of our centers doing a really good job and a lot of really good things. But you have to win hockey games, and so it's challenging. You know, you like a lot of pieces about it. And one of the you know, great things too after the game was the way our leaders and our seniors spoke, that, you know, we're not where we need to be. You know, we're not there's no coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, we didn't beat that team, and that's a team that the league is going to go through in some shape or form, and we've got to close the gap and find a way to beat that team. We were close, liked a lot of things we did. I think if we can play at that level continuously, we're going to have a really strong you know, next couple games and then second half. But a lot of good lessons to learn from it. You know, we didn't love our week of practice. We could kind of feel things slipping a little bit. And I think a lot of that is where we are in the semester. You know, a little bit of sag of energy, a little bit of, you know, poor execution at times. And you try to control it. You try to grab it. You know, but again, I think we can learn from it. And it's been a really good couple of days to realize, you know, as close as we are to that team, was one of the best teams in the country, there's some small things we have to do better. Be a little bit quicker. Be a little bit more tenacious. You know, win more races. Win more 50-50. Puck battles, and I think it's reflected really well in the last couple of days here in practice. And it's a real short week with the travel and the long trip, you know. But you know, we like this team to play one of the best teams in the country and be right there. There's some things you like about it, but you have to win those games, and we'll get a chance at them in a couple of weeks. And right now, our focus is on Alaska to use those lessons to go win a game Friday night.
Yeah, you're going to make 2 trips to Alaska in less than a month. You're going to make a trip here this weekend. You're going to leave on Wednesday to head out and get up to Alaska as fast as you can, I know. And then you'll have to turn around and come back from that. And all these kids will have finals next week. They're in the final week right now of the regular semester, and finals week is next week. So you're coming out of Alaska looking to that. And then you're going to go right back up there on the 4th and 5th of January to play in Anchorage.
Yeah, and I, you know what? I don't it doesn't feel, you know, difficult in that regard. I think, you know, we get the Christmas break. We're going to have a pretty long break this year. Guys will have about 9 or 10 days off, and I think everybody will have a chance to travel home, which is, you know, sometimes not always the case, especially when you look at our international makeup. But, you know, I don't think the back-to-back, because of the break in there, will be too challenging. You know, again, our singular focus right now, I guess it's kind of dual, because the guys do have to prepare for finals. It's a really critical time of the semester. We've had a great year so far academically, and you know, I'm a little bit concerned the difficulty of this trip and coming home and preparing for finals. You know, I'm concerned that the guys will have enough time and enough rest to do well that way. But you know, we've got to also focus on the game Friday night, and we'll have some time throughout our travels. You know, long trip, so there's plenty of time to hit the books and prepare that way. But right now it's about Friday night, so I think we can get through this weekend. You know, get some critical points on the road, and then we'll give the guys a few days off to work on finals and get through finals week. You know, a couple short practices next week in preparation for the national program, and then that break comes, you know, at a good time there. And then the excitement of the Great Lakes Invitational. You know, you and Brian talked a little bit about it. Him being a Michigan native and a Detroit kid, you know, we all know the magnitude of that tournament, and you know, grew up myself going to that many years. So there'll be a lot of excitement there. And again, you know, we're out of school going up to Anchorage. So, you know, I'm not overly concerned about it. And, you know, we haven't looked that far ahead either. So we're just prepping for Fairbanks right now. But I think it does come at a decent time the way it's broken up this year.
Yeah, Brian and I also talked a little bit about, we thought we had lost Braden Gelsinger. He missed most of that game on Saturday night. He blocked a shot in the first period. The puck actually got caught up in his glove, and they had to stop play, and he dumped the puck back out. But he actually blocked a shot on that wrist, and we thought he was seriously injured. So did he. I talked to him yesterday. He thought he was going to be out for at least a month. But got great news early today. that they looked at the x-rays again and it's not broken. And so he actually returned to practice. And to me, that's big, big news because you need his speed in the lineup on that big ice sheet up in Fairbanks.
Yeah, absolutely. That would have been a big loss. And, you know, the one thing that was positive was the timing. He wasn't going to miss a lot of WCHA games had he gone through a few weeks recovery there. But usually it's kind of the other way around. Usually when you're leaving a medical appointment, your trainer calls, you're cussing under your breath because you know something good didn't happen. And so it was a great phone call to get. And as Brian Basilico mentioned, Braden was really relieved. He's dealt with some smaller injuries and missed some time. And so he was flying today. I know there's a lot of pressure off him that he's not going to miss an extended amount of time. And like you said, his skill, his skating are all things you need on that Olympic sheet. So really, really relieved for our team, but also for Braden that, you know, he's healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, the tough thing right now for both Braden Gelsinger and the other guy we talked about last week, Max Humitz, is neither one of these guys has scored in five games now, and I mean points. It's been even longer than that since they've scored a goal. And those two guys are two of our very best players. I thought Max had one for sure late in the first period on Saturday night. He had an outright breakaway. Ruggiero put it right on his stick. He's gone. Right in on goal, he tried to go low stick side on McKay, and McKay stopped it, and That's just the frustration right now of Max Humitz's season at this point.
Yeah, that was a big moment, too. As you mentioned, we had a great job on the penalty kill that we scored that goal. It's a few, I don't know, what, 10? It was at the buzzer, basically, I think. I think, you know, 5-8 seconds left in the period, maybe even less, and you score that, and I think it's a one-goal game, and all the life and momentum on our side there. So it was a big moment there. You know, early on, we had a line with Gelsinger, Humitz, and Diego in the middle, two juniors and a senior, and, you know, I think that helped. We broke that up, that lineup, to try to get some more balance. And I think right now we're scratching our heads saying maybe we need to go back to a lineup like that. But, you know, yeah, they're definitely gripping the sticks there a little bit. They're good players. They'll work their way through it and they'll break out of it. You know, Max in particular is a guy that, you know, you come by the rink at 10 a.m., he's usually around the rink shooting pucks or doing something to keep improving and getting better and giving himself a chance to be successful. So there's no doubt he'll work through it, but it does. You know, when those games build up and you're not getting rewarded, you tend to grip the stick a little bit tighter. You know, you maybe a lot of times guys try to do too much instead of simplifying it. So, you know, we're trying to work with him to keep him positive and to keep him going. And that offense that they provide is really critical to our team. So hopefully this weekend they can break out of that and get back on track here.
Yeah, we played 14 games this season, and neither one of those two, Gelsinger or Humitz, has scored a goal now in 9 games. And that gets to be a little bit of a – that's in their head right now, I would think. It's certainly – we noticed that right away. Some of the other things that are going on that we should be talking about, I was kind of impressed with one of the things that Minnesota State did, and we talked about that in our pregame on a Friday night. They flew from Mankato to Kinross. They chartered a flight. That's how serious they were about getting points this weekend. And I've never heard a team before do the kind of chanting they were doing prior to a game out in the hallway before both games they did this, pumping themselves up to be ready for the games.
Yeah, well, I you know, I'm not exposed to that part of it. We're kind of separated that way. But, you know, they've made a big commitment to their program. You know, and that's part of it, you know. And that's in our league, it's challenging when you can't rest and recover the way that you'd ideally like to. You know, the old CCHA, it wasn't that bad. It was a fairly short bus ride. You were home at a decent hour. You know, certainly for years we've seen some of the Big Ten schools chartering and doing those things. And but Mankato's invested that way in their program, both with you know, recruiting budgets and then the way they travel, their mode of travel. And that's a pretty big advantage, you know, when you can come in and it's a quick flight up on a charter flight, and then they take a sleeper bus home to get some decent rest on their Saturday night. So, you know, that has an impact, and that's something we're trying to close the gap there a little bit and continue to be competitive in those regards. But, you know, real credit to their administration that they've seen the value in putting resources into their program, and it's paying off in a huge way. Coach Hastings does a great job. That's a really good team. I think they'll continue to be a top three, top five team all season long. You know, they're a newer program that hasn't had a lot of NCAA NCAA history or success. So, you know, they need to get that one or two out of the way to get to that next level. It's like the old Edmonton Oilers or the Islanders. They had to get that first win, that first loss to go through that and understand what it takes. And I think that's where they're at. They have a chance this year to have a real special year in their program's history there. But a tremendous commitment by their administration, and it's paying off.
Yeah, it's really something when you got a team in your league who can charter a flight to come and play you. And, you know, we're taking buses to Alabama, Huntsville, and Minnesota State ourselves. So there's a big gap there. Up next is Alaska, a team that should feel very confident against the Lakers right now. They took 5 out of 6 points from us on our ice about a month ago, and they just won 2 games from Ferris State up in Fairbanks, and you got to go get them this weekend.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's we played recently, so there's certainly a familiarity between teams. But, you know, if anybody's feeling there's easy nights in this league, they're going to get bitten. So it doesn't matter who you're playing, where you're at, whether it's this league or across college hockey. It's just too competitive. There's just a narrow gap of winning and losing there. So I don't think that weekend will have much of an impact here. We felt like it was a missed opportunity, and that kind of got them rolling a little bit. So they're on a bit of a hot streak here. Some guys playing really well for them, and in a big home sweep over Ferris for them as well. And it's a challenging weekend. They're a good team. We saw that when they came in here, some really good strong players for them. The freshman goaltender is playing really well right now, so he's more confident, probably starting from our Saturday night game where he was really good. And then you add in the travel, the time change, things like that. So it's an interesting weekend. It's a difficult weekend. You try to plan and handle as much as you can across the board, but we're going to embark on this tomorrow, and we're going to be ready to play.
Yeah, that was the next question before we take our second break here tonight. What's the itinerary for this weekend? You're going to get out of town on Wednesday, and you got a bus down to Detroit, I take it, and then do what we usually do.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty standard trip in terms of, knowing the routine at this point of it. But like you said, it's a flight out of Detroit Metro, and you're trying to rest, recover as much as you can on these long trips. I think we end up landing about 4 a.m. our time, which is, very challenging. Fortunately for our guys, I don't think it'll be very hard for them to sleep on the bus and sleep on the plane. So they will be able to get some rest along the way. But it's difficult in that regards, and in terms of, that time change and adjusting. And we'll try to use Thursday to get acclimated as quickly as we can, as best as we can. Let the guys sleep in, try to get an Alaska time, a meal or two, a practice up there Thursday late afternoon. And then, Friday pregame skate and puck drop Saturday, Friday night. It's 11 o'clock our time. And again, we've had enough guys go through it that we should be prepared for it.
Alrighty, we're going to take a break, our second of the night. We got a lot of questions from the fans here, and I've got a lot of information on ex-Laker players, where they are now. We had that question from a fan last week. We don't know if we'll get to that or not, but we'll be right back to the Antlers with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back at the Antlers, third segment of our hockey show tonight, and we've got questions from the fans who are with us here at the Antlers. We always have a good turnout for this show. I still say the fastest hour in radio, but it's flying by again tonight. Damon Witten is with us now. We had Brian Basilico to start the program tonight. A number of questions here. Some of them are pretty interesting. We always get asked about, before we go play on big ice, whether it's at Northern or up in Fairbanks, did the team practice at all at the Big Bear in preparation for playing on the large ice surface?
You know what? We didn't this year. We looked at it, and in past years, I think we have. And then what ended up happens is just really disruptive to your schedule. For guys to get out of classes, to get over to Taffy and pack their bags or get dressed and drive over, it seems like it ends up being counterproductive because your practice is not very good over there. So as a coach, you're mad because it's just a really different out of your routine thing there. So we didn't do it. I think we're glad we didn't do it. Just the time of the year it is with the schooling and finals around the corner. So we just felt like it would have been counterproductive to get it done. So we'll have to be a little bit longer on Thursday. We got an hour of ice up in Alaska when we get there, and we'll look to maximize that, not in terms of conditioning or anything like that, but just trying to set up some things to get used to the size a little bit more. But there, you know, there's not a lot of changes. It's an extra two strides anywhere you're at, but you know, shouldn't take much of an adjustment for
us. Yeah, I always look at the Olympic size sheet as being the difficulty would be with the width, not so much the length.
Sure.
The width is, there's some extra room there for a quick player to dangle around. That's why I'm so glad to hear Gelsinger is going to make this trip, because he could be really effective on a sheet like that. The Jandrick brothers have scored the game-winning goals in all of Alaska's wins this year. Either Chris Jandrick, the defenseman, or Steven Jandrick, the forward. He scored one against us, I remember, and Chris had a game winner against us in the overtime. How do we stop those two guys, or do we even care?
Oh, no, you definitely care. I mean, it's like, you know, playing anybody. You know, what are teams, when they see us play, what are they trying to do? They're trying to shut down Anthony Nellis and, you know, maybe Colin Sockerman, our seniors, and Diego and Gage. You know, you definitely know going in, you know, if you think our guys, you know, again, I'm a bad coach if our guys don't have Michaelis and Toomey marked and McKay on the back end. So, no, you know the other team's top players, and, you know, you try to get the matchups as best you can. On the road, you don't have the advantage to get last change and match as quickly and or strongly as you'd like to, but you better be aware of the other team's best players and you know, get the right people out against them, check them a little bit tighter, you know, and don't allow them to beat you. So no, that's definitely aware of that, and I didn't know that stat that they've got every game-winning goal, but you know, they're good players and they're having tremendous years, and those are guys you have to be ready to shut down. And you know, if they're going to find a way to get points from us up there, then it better not be the Jandrick brothers doing it. Make somebody else do it.
Yeah, they had a couple of players of the week in the league this past week. They had Kyler Hope as the offensive player of the week. He had a goal and three assists for 4 points. And then the defenseman Tristan Thompson, number 32. I remember him. He's not a big kid at all, but he's a must be a pretty good player. He had 2 goals, 2 assists. He was like a +4 on the weekend. He was defensive player of the week.
Yeah, no, they're coming off you know, a good stretch of hockey for them. And you know, we mentioned the goaltender as well. He's, you know, the Latvian starting to maybe look like win that job a little bit. He's playing well, and those two guys coming off, so they're a confident bunch right now. And you know, we already know they're a good team, and now they're playing with more and more confidence. So it's going to be just like every night. You know, there's not an easy night. There's not a shift off, and we've got to put together 60 tremendous minutes of hockey on Friday night.
Back to the big ice for a second. One last question on that. Does the big ice precipitate any changes in the lineup for Lake Superior State, or does it make you think about who to take on this trip? You can only take so many people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a big discussion point to try to, you know, get your maximum I guess advantage out of your lineup in terms of speed and quickness and things like that. So it certainly has brought into the discussion, and you know, we talked a lot about that. Who's good out there? You know, it's not just quickness and speed. Because it's bigger, you have you know, the potential for more puck possession offensively as well. So who can protect pucks? You know, who's good at getting off the walls and getting to the net, things like that as well. So there's a lot of discussion points going into it, and you know, we know our lineup at this point would travel tomorrow, but you know, it's good. And obviously kind of a strange day today. You know, we thought Braden Gelsinger wouldn't be going with us, and then last minute we find out he is. So you've got to be ready to adjust and make some calls last minute there like we did today.
Yeah, well, in that wrist situation, one second you think it's broken, and the next second you find out he's not, so he can play. But how sore is that, right? It's got to give him some difficulty.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, anytime you have a bruise, when you take an impact right on it, there can be some soreness. But his range of motion is really good. His strength is good. It's just, you know, there's going to be some tenderness, and so you know, it'll be wrapped up and protected a little bit more. But it won't restrict him at all from the things he's doing. And he was tremendous today in practice. You know, you go from thinking you're not going to practice for a few weeks to coming out and having a great day. So I think he was really relieved and showed some good jump today because of it.
Okay, we're almost halfway through the season. Here's another question from our fans here tonight. What are the positive things you see about the team so far, and what areas as head coach do you assess need improvement?
Yeah, good one. Real good one. And I guess we're not quite there. Give me 10 days and we can look a little bit more in depth at that. Obviously you have a feel as things move along, but again, your focus mostly this time of year is that preparation for your Friday night or Saturday night when you're in season. You're just almost all about that, and then the recruiting and itineraries, things like that. So, but you know, we've gotten real good contributions offensively from our D-Corps. That's been a real positive. When you look at, you know, what Colin Sockerman's done, Will Rydell, Nordquist, Rogerio's got, I think, 3 goals now. So the offensive output from our defensemen has been outstanding up to this point. I think at the same time, you can look at the D-Corps, and again, you look at Saturday Night Mankato. It's a team. It's not just the D-Corps, but I think they're doing a really good job defensively, getting us organized, communicating our coverages. So I think we've been, you know, for the most part, a pretty good defensive team, limiting chances and doing a good job overall defensively. You know, I've talked a ton about our senior class and our leaders, and I think they're continue to do a really good job of leading this team, both, you know, on the ice, but in the locker room culturally, you know, helping guys adjust, get along. You know, you look at Ashton Calder getting spotted up with some of those more established guys, and they've done a really good job. You know, Pete Viet's playing with some of our older guys now. Owen Guy had some opportunities early on. You know, Jacob Nordquist has been paired up with an older guy. So they've done a really good job of getting our young guys acclimated to college hockey, and we feel really good about that. You know, and I think the other side of it, you know, we've been pretty good defensively, but we want to be better. You know, we want to continue to be hard to play against defensively, and even cut down our goals against. I think, you know, offensively, the last couple of weeks, we haven't been as good offensively as we were early on. Whether we got complacent and thought it would come easy all year long, certainly I think the goaltending we faced the last couple of weeks have been done a great job, in particular on those Saturday nights. But we got to get back to having a little bit more simpler mindset offensively, being a little bit more tenacious around the net, and pick our offensive game back up.
Another question. This one's kind of interesting. I have a feeling on this one myself. Will we ever get a home game on I-500 weekend with all the fans up for the race? We could draw really well. I think there are some other sides to that. I think that's one of the weekends we prefer to be away.
Well, you know what? I don't know it. So, yeah, it's kind of been a thing that we wanted to request to get off. I think there's some parking issues and, you know, I don't know, some resources in our town. I would love to hear from some people that know our program, know the race well, and see. For me, I'm with that question. I feel like we've got all these people in town. Let's find a way to partner and make it a great, you know, weekend. But we have been encouraged in the past to use our bullets to schedule to get out of town because of some of that parking issues and resource issues, things like that. But I would love to talk to some people. I see our audience all different reactions and shaking heads, but you know, I like the question. I think Dr. Pateson and his background would find a real creative way to be a good partner to the I-500, and I would love to try it. I know, I'm sure it's been done over the years, and I don't know what the results were, but I would love to have some people from both sides talk about it, and you know, see if there's a better way to handle that weekend.
Yeah, you'd need a lot of help with the traffic issue and the parking. That's always been a problem, because a lot of the folks who go to the I-500 use A and B lots. That's their headquarters for walking back. But I'm sure there's a way. We probably ought to take a new look at it. It hasn't been done in a long, long time. Does the NCAA have any regulations on the length of a stick? I don't know where this question's coming from, but is there a regulation on length of sticks?
I think there is. You know, we don't have a guy. I mean, Hampus Erickson, possibly Tyler Anderson, are big enough to maybe challenge that. I know the NHL there is. I think we do, and I don't know it off the top of my head. We haven't come across it. I don't know if, you know, some of our fans will probably remember Mike Weaver from Michigan State. He was an All-American defenseman, mm-hmm. a teammate of mine, great, great player. And Weaver was like a 5'8" defenseman. Like, he was unbelievable. He ended up playing a long, long career in the NHL. And Weaver had arms that were like a basketball player's, this unbelievable wingspan, and his stick was almost taller than him. So you would go against Weave, and you think you'd have him beat, and he'd reach back with those long arms and long stick. And so for a 5'8" guy, he used a stick of like a 6'4", 6'5" guy, and it was amazing. So, you know, but some guys who have a more defensive mindset, that length is important to defend well.
Yeah, I think Zach Lesh, I remember, had a stick that was about 6 feet long, I think.
Yeah, and I think when we moved him to forward, we cut it down a little bit, because when it's that long, you can't handle things in your feet very well. So when you're defending, it's great to have that reach and advantage. And then when he converted, we shortened it up a little bit so we could handle pucks a little bit better.
All righty, we're going to take a break. It's our third and final break on the Laker Hockey Show, the fastest hour in radio. We'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All right, we're back for the final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night. Just for your information, those of you who are here with us and those of you listening in, we will have Laker Hockey Shows the next two Tuesdays. Next Tuesday, we will have one. Damon will be a tired guy, but we'll drag him in here anyway on Tuesday, coming out of Fairbanks. And then we will have one a week after that as well. That'll be the last show we have for the holidays. We'll break for a couple of weeks. We won't have another one until the team returns from Anchorage. And in between there, we're going to be playing the under-18s on the 16th of December. That's a Sunday afternoon at 2, and we are going to carry that game on Yes FM. And Pat and I will be down there. We'll do that game against the under-18s, and then we'll come back, and we'll go back down again after Christmas, and we'll carry both games. The Lakers play in the GLI. First game's 4 o'clock on Sunday, Damon, the 30th, and then the second game depends on whether we win or lose that first game. We play your alma mater, the first game. Michigan plays against Michigan Tech. We play against Michigan State that first day, and then the winners play and the losers play, and we'll either play at 11 a.m. on Monday or at 2 in the afternoon on Monday. So keep crazy. That all in mind. Check your schedule, because if you tune it in at night, the games are going to be over. So
you listen to the Red Wings, because they play that night
the
at
Red
home.
Wings so do play
a great,
New Year's
great
Eve.
Weekend of hockey in Detroit.
Yeah, in fact, there's a ticket price right now. $60 gets you every game. That's a good deal right there, including the Red Wing game on New Year's Eve. So can't beat that if you want to go down. And we will be doing this show, as we say, the next 2 weeks. We may or may not have Laker Hockey Talk this Thursday morning. We can corral Zach Sizek tomorrow and get him to do that show for this Thursday, which I may do just because it's sponsored. And then next week we will have Laker Hockey Talk as well, even though we're not going to be at home. And don't forget Laker basketball this Thursday and this Saturday. They are at home, both basketball teams, 5 and 7 this Thursday. And the Alumni Association is having its after hours, Lake State after hours on Thursday. It'll start at 5:30 at the gym, and there'll be free popcorn there to the first 30 people in attendance. And they'll be playing against Saginaw Valley this Thursday night. So basketball at home this week, and with the hockey out of town, you can avail yourself of the opportunity to see some of that. We've got some information on some of the ex-Laker players. We were asked about that last week, so we'll do that in a second here. But let's continue to talk a little bit about this team, Damon. I thought that was a really good question where the fans asked about your assessment of how things stand right now. I think goaltending's been really good so far this season. I don't have any problem with anything there. Defensively, we've been really sound. I think if there's probably something we'd like to all see happen, it's what we talked about earlier. Gelsinger, Hewitt, some of these guys start scoring goals because they're goal scorers. And if they start doing that, we're going to be pretty darn good. We're going to win a lot of hockey games.
Yeah, and a big omission by my part. You're right. Our goaltending has been good. You know, Nick Kossoff, one of those seniors we bring up quite often, is doing a real good job. Certainly with his play on the ice, but also as a leader, his habits and the way he approaches not only hockey but the classroom. He's the consummate student athlete and just a real pleasure to have in the program. And, you know, Merrick's has played well, has struggled to get the wins, and some of that's been the support he's gotten on those Saturday nights early on. And then Roman, you know, is a little bit stuck behind those guys right now due to lack of experience due to last year. But that's been a real strength. But yeah, we got to get Max going again and Braden, and, you know, we're trying to address that, shuffle some things around again and establish some chemistry. But they'll keep working and they'll spring out. I think when they break out of it, it's going to be really good. You know, one thing I thought too, Alex Ambrosio probably had his best game of the year. Brian talked a little bit early on, Merrimack, Huntsville, it was Basilico, Ambrosio, Gamlin was a really, really good and effective line for us early on. They dipped a little bit. We made some adjustments trying to balance some things out. And then, again, you know, it's a little bit human nature. Sometimes you take your foot off the pedal, you get a little bit complacent with your role. So I think each of those guys has taken a night of the lineup, unfortunately, and I think it's re-energized all those guys. So I thought Alex had a good response this weekend to play his best hockey. Chase, again, you know, he's back in, he's going, and Brian is the one that's been probably the more consistent one, but he saw a chance this weekend too to come out. So we need those guys to be back like they were those first 3 weeks. They were really good for us. They were matching up against top lines and winning battles and flipping momentum. So we're looking forward to getting those guys on track as well.
Yeah, I laughed on Instagram today. They had a picture of Nick Kossoff on Instagram, and it said, team dad and funny guy Nick Kossoff is taking over our Snapchat this weekend starting tomorrow. Snapchat's a big deal right now with social media, and I said to myself when I looked at it, I said, you know, I never knew that Nick was the team funny guy and the guy known as Dad. He is a senior, though.
Yeah, he's got some experience to him at this point, and I don't think he's the oldest, but he's up there. But, you know, a real wise kid, a real mature kid, and I think that's part of it as well. You know, he doesn't screw up, if ever, not very often, but, you know, he does things the right way everywhere. He's a tremendous student, 3'8", 3'9", you know, just a real mature, real great kid to be around. I don't have Snapchat. I don't really know what Snapchat is, so I won't follow those stories, and hopefully they do a good job with that. I think, too, before we move on, I just want to recognize, I know there'll be some information coming out next couple days, you know, the month a couple of our guys had. Anthony Nellis was one of the top scorers in the WCHA this past month. I think Jacob Nordquist led all freshmen defensemen in the WCHA and maybe nationally in scoring in the past month, and then Colin Sockerman led, I think, goal scoring maybe nationally as well. So some real strong performances throughout the month. You know, hit the, you know, a couple tough losses there, but you know, some guys are playing well, and I think we're a better team having had Mankato in and going through that. But you know, a lot of good things going on. And again, just briefly, lastly, I guess, before you get into some of the recaps, I talked to a couple of people that just talked about, you know, what a great weekend it was, how much fun they had. They left the rink, and Saturday night was such a great game. And they said, yeah, we left smiling. It was so great. And I thought it was entertaining hockey, but I certainly wasn't smiling. You know, kind of crushed we didn't get that done. But I do know, from the feedback I've heard, people thought it was a real tremendous series of hockey, and I think that's big. You know, we're in the entertainment business. We're trying to play the right way. And I really like the way the weekend went. Reffing was good. They let the guys decide it. But I thought both teams played the right way and thought it was rewarding hockey from a fan standpoint because of that.
Yeah, I do. I agree. I thought it was the Saturday night's game in particular was really entertaining. If you ever want statistics, you got to count on Pat O'Neill. Here he is. He's texting me telling me the NCAA allows a stick to be up to 65 inches long. There you go. You got it right from the NCAA. When Pat's listening in, he goes and checks that right away.
Thanks, Pat.
I wanted to hit where some of the guys are, and I don't have time. We only got a few minutes here, but I'm going to hit where some of them are right now. I spent 2 hours researching last night trying to find where everybody is. I'm still not sure if some of these guys are even playing because they've played so a limited number of games at this point. But JT Hanke is out in Utah. He's got 2 assists since he went there. He's played in 5 games for the Grizzlies there in the East Coast Hockey League. Most of these guys are in the East Coast League, and some of them are at the end of their career at this point. Nathan Perkovich is playing for the Florida Everblades. He has 4 goals, 3 assists, 7 points in 15 games there. Mitch Hultz is down to the Orlando Solar Bears in the East Coast League now. He's got 2 assists in 4 games there. Syracuse sent him down after he was traded to Syracuse from San Diego in the American Hockey League. So Mitch has to get things going there and pick it up and get back up to the American Hockey League level. Alex Globke, he's playing out the string. Greenville, he's playing for the Rabbits down there, and he has no points. He's played in only 4 games and has not seen a whole lot of action. Steven Canisto still having a good career. This kid's been playing pro for quite a while now. 4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points in 20 games. He's playing in Tulsa of the East Coast Hockey League. Eric Drapluck is also in Tulsa. He's only got 1 assist in 16 games, though, but he is playing quite a bit. Steven Perfetto's headed for Europe, I think. He was in San Antonio in the American Hockey League where he had a goal and an assist for 2 points in 5 games, but I'm pretty sure he's headed for Europe at this point. Luke Sandler, still hanging around down in Kalamazoo. He's played only 5 games. He has no points. Kyle Chatham's only played in 3 games. He was in Wichita and Atlanta, both in the East Coast Hockey League. I'm not sure if he's still there or not. Steve Alexi, what a career this kid's had. He came out of Lake Superior a long time ago. He's been in the NHL, the American Hockey League. He's in San Diego. He's got 2 assists. He's played in 11 games, which is more than half their games. Steve Alexi still playing defense at a high level in the American Hockey League. Buddy Robinson, he's in Stockton in the American Hockey League. 2 goals, 9 assists, 11 points in 23 games. Colin Campbell still in Grand Rapids. He's not playing that much. He's only played 9 games, but he has 5 points. 2 of those are goals. Chris Bindoulis hasn't played much at all. He is playing in the American Hockey League in Hershey, but he's only played in 4 games. He has no points. Zach Trotman, still hanging in there. 1 goal, 1 assist, 2 points in 11 games. He's playing in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And also in Wilkes-Barre is Kevin Churchman. He's got a goal, 3 assists, 4 points in 14 games. Gordy Dayfield's in South Carolina playing for the Stingrays. He hasn't played that much, but he's got tremendous statistics there. Listen to this one. Kyle Haynes is still playing. He's down in Pensacola in the Southern League. He left here, what, 10 years ago, maybe more, and he's still playing. Matt Johnson was hanging in there in Pensacola. I think he may be out of there now. Kellen Lane, it looks like, has retired. And Austin McKay has not yet played in Atlanta. He is on their roster, though, and just hasn't gone down there yet since the death of his mom. Damon, thanks for doing this. Another fast week.
Well, and I think you missed one. I thought I saw on one of the social medias that goalie
sure
partners, well, yeah, maybe more, but I think Gordy Dayfield's with Kevin Kapalka down in South Carolina. I'm not sure if Kevin's out with an injury and that's part of it. Do I have that right? Is that where Kevin was, fan? Yeah. So I think Gordy and Kevin are down there together, and maybe there's an injury situation, but kind of interesting to see two former Laker goalies. But you know what? These guys, it's a tough life. There's some glamour to it, some great things, but you know, you got to love the game because you put your body through a lot. You put your significant other, your parent, you know, everything like that. It's a tough grind, and give these guys a lot of credit for what they're going through. And you got a good trip to catch up with a lot of these guys. So I'm glad you brought them up. We'll reach out and say hello and wish them happy holidays. And same to you. Great show, Bill. And we'll talk more next week.
Yeah, we'll be back here next Tuesday night, another edition of the Laker Hockey Show, and I'll see if I can get Zach Sizek to do Laker Hockey Talk this Thursday morning. We'll be back next week. Thanks to the fans for being here. Thanks to Frank Blissett. Thanks to Matt Pocket, the Millennial Rocket. I should ask him about Snapchat tonight. He knows all about that. And for Damon Witten, Bill Crawford saying so long till next week, Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.